On today's featured, I wanted to talk about Oswald the Lucky Wabbit. So he was created in 1927 by Walt Disney and of Iwerks, but he was created, here's where the problem lies, for Universal Pictures. So this was when they were getting their feet wet with animation. He first appeared in Trolley Troubles in 1927. He wasn't a hit at first. The first animation they showed Universal Studios, they're like, he's too old and he's too much of a jerk. So they had to young him up and they had to like make him a little more lovable. So he went on to be kind of a hit for Universal, which when Ub Iwerks and Walt Disney decided, hey, let's make our own studio. This is why they couldn't bring Oswald along, because Universal was like, he's ours. You gave him to us. So weirdly enough, Oswald went on to like be in other non-Disney things for a little while, including a video game in the 90s that wasn't Disney. But in 2006, I love this, somebody at Buena Vista Games had an idea, hey, we should make a video game, but we kind of need Oswald to do it. So Bob Iger was like, all right, let me see what I can do. So by 2010, they basically swapped the trademark for Oswald with NBC Universal. For Universal got the rights to use Al Michaels as a play-by-play announcer on NBC Sunday Night Football. So I love the fact that he was worth a cartoon character.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Of course, that video game ended up being Epic Mickey, which came out in 2010, which just renewed this love for Oswald, which people kind of knew about, but seeing him in animated form and seeing his characterization, I feel like a lot of the like underdogs really took to Oswald. Like, he's kind of the outsider's hero. And he was introduced to California Adventure in 2011, where he's been kind of a staple. I feel like it's kind of like his land over there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what inspired this, Rachel?
Sure.
Alan and I both bought two different pairs of Oswald ears yesterday, and this girl next to us who kept knocking into my ears. I was sitting still, by the way. She knocked into me. Well, she was like,
oh. We were there first, too.
We were there first, too. She was like, I thought everybody is like an Oswald stan now. Like, is he even relevant? Has he even been in the parks? And I'm like, yeah, he's been a staple over there for like a few years now.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of my Oswaldness.
Wonderful.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah. Welcome to this week's Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. My name is Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Alan.
And we're here to talk about Mar-Gal Disnews. Before we get into that, let's do some Mar-Gal Dis Biz. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
So we asked people, did you like Quantumania? What do we think the answer was here?
I mean, I hope it was yes. I hope that people that think the same way we do are listening.
How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm trying to not think of what I already saw on Instagram. But yeah, I think a lot of people, anyways, I know, enjoy the movie. So I would hope y'all liked it too.
It got 100% yes. So our fans like Quantumania. We have the right people listening.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So, Rachel, where do we want to start today?
Shall we start with the shortest and move our way up? Shall we start with Marvelous?
Marvelous. Marvelous. Marvelous.
Marvelous.
Marvelous. So I know this is kind of already well known, but I thought I'd talk about it. There's new information on it about the awkward Hulk and Namor situation.
Uh-oh.
This is awkward. So Universal Studios, it's always Universal. If it's not Sony, it's Universal.
I feel like Universal is like the main competitor to Disney in a way, because they go after the same things. Like Sony doesn't have like that huge kind of family element to it where Universal does, and they have a big animation element. Yeah,
that's very true. That is a good point. And they both have theme parks.
They do.
So Hulk and Namor, the problem here is that Disney does not have distribution rights. Universal, Universal Pictures holds the distribution rights. So what that means is if there were ever to be a solo project of Hulk or Namor, then basically Universal would make all the money off of the sales and the putting out there of the movie. So that's why up until now, Hulk has only been in other people's movies since The Incredible Hulk. And that's why we can't expect anything of a Namor solo project until this is kind of resolved. So what people are talking about now is, well, Bob Iger said, maybe I don't want Hulu. Maybe we don't need Hulu. And the other main owner of Hulu right now, it's 67% Disney, 33% Universal. So people are like, is he going to sell Hulu for the distribution rights of Namor and Hulk?
Wow.
Yeah. And my thing is, I wonder though, since a lot of the content on Hulu is kind of under the Disney umbrella now because of the Fox acquisition, would Hulu be worth as much if it went into other people's hands?
Or they can just trade another NFL announcer.
Yeah, I know. They'd have to trade two this time.
Yeah, I guess to me it seems like a little leap that people would instantly see that as an opportunity for the Hulk rights or for the Namor rights. Like, that's a very specific thing to make the trade for. And there's a lot more between Universal and Disney, I feel like. There's so much.
Yeah. I know. I think it's a very hopeful solution, but not a very realistic solution. But that's kind of been making the news circuit, is could this be an option? Because I mean, Namor has been a breakout hit. Yesterday when we went to the park, people had actually bought some of his ugly, horrible ears.
Wow. Who would put those on their head?
I know, right? Speaking of putting things on your head, Marvel Studios is making a new imprint. They are doing the Fox Studios comics. So what this means is they've already started their own Predator and Alien line, which I've been following. The Predator one is actually really good. It's a girl like out to get revenge on the Predators for killing her family.
Wow.
The aliens are just okay. But they're actually going to start imprinting Fox Studios as kind of their own comic line. And to do this, they're actually launching Planet of the Apes comic in April, which will be the first to have the Fox imprint on it. And then they're going to transition. The new Alien number one will have Fox imprint, and Predator number two, that one just missed the number one mark, will all be under the Fox comics.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. I like that they're kind of keeping the Fox brand alive, and they're differentiating, like, what is Disney, what is Marvel, what is Star Wars, what is Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this could be promising. If they were, say, to sell Hulu, then it would be easy to put everything under, like, a Fox moniker and kind of control the rating systems and everything and who's watching what through that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to hate this, but if this does become successful, I would imagine they'd have like a Avatar comic as well.
I'd still read it, but I wouldn't love it. I love comics. I just read comics. Do you guys feel that? Is that
feel
a
what?
Disturbance in the galaxy? Galaxy, galaxy,
galaxy.
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 I know Rachel's excited about this one. I'm not sure about Alan. There's a new movie coming out called Disturbance in the Force, or A Disturbance in the Force. It's actually going to be a documentary on the ill-fated Star Wars holiday special.
I'm so excited.
What's even better is I watched the trailer this morning. It just came out today. And it's to the voice of Darth Vader being like, back in 1978.
Oh my God.
It's a disturbance. And what's really fun about it is they're looking at 70s like variety shows. And they're looking at how that ruined the holiday special, basically. I mean,
because it was basically done in the style of one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they show footage of, like, the Star Wars characters on other shows. Like, I know Luke Skywalker and Mark Hamill, two completely separate people, were on the Muppet Show back in the 70s.
Yes.
And then they showed them on other shows doing kooky, like, dance numbers. And it's like, well, yeah, that makes complete sense if they're emulating those shows, that that would trickle into the movie and, yeah, make it what it is, the glorificous thing that it is.
Glorious, beautiful, amazing thing that it is. Yeah, I think that's just another issue of people not liking fun. It's fun.
Well, and I think it's funny too, because they even say in the documentary, it shows Mark Hamill today and he's like, yeah, they still don't want me to talk about the holiday special, referring to LucasArts or Lucasfilm. And it's like, we all know what it is. Like, just own it and it will eventually go away. But by, like, Voldemorting it, it's becoming like a legend. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Embrace it. Like, so it wasn't like the same as these epic movie sort of storylines, but it was doing something fun with your, like, I feel like it is equivalent to the Lego specials that they do now. It's ridiculous fun. Like, what is, yeah. And I mean, some of it has aged very strangely, like the weird gift that Chewie's father got. But in general, quite great.
And I mean, anybody who hasn't seen it, it's on YouTube. If you haven't seen B. Arthur sing, yes, B. Arthur sings in the Star Wars Holiday Special. That is a thing. You know, hop yourself up on some legal marijuana, which we can talk about on the show because it is family friendly now. It's like alcohol, Stephanie. Yeah. And just watch the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, we also got some news today from Dave Filoni, who I know you all know I talk about a lot because I love Mr. Filoni because he is such a good thing for Star Wars. He was asked the question, where's Grogu during the sequel trilogy? We've all been kind of wondering that. Like, what are they going to, like, cross paths? Like, what's happening here? Why was Grogu absent during these years? And Dave Filoni's answer is basically what we've all been kind of thinking. I'm going to summarize here, but he's basically kind of saying, like, the galaxy's really big, so Grogu maybe just wasn't around that part of the galaxy at the time. You know, he probably only heard about it after the big events happened, but maybe he's off doing his own thing with Mando somewhere else in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. It is a large galaxy.
It is a large galaxy. Galaxy, galaxy. Galaxy. So I think, I don't know, that kind of gives us an answer, because I know there were rumors for a while that, like, the Mandalorian verse would be its own thing, or like they're going to redo the sequels. But this tells me, like, no, none of that's true. They're all in the same universe. It's just these are separate stories that maybe before or after the sequels will eventually cross. But one thing Dave Filoni specifically said is growing up, he trusted Yoda and Obi-Wan when they said that Luke is the last Jedi, that he's the only one left. But through expanded universe and new media, we know there were other Jedi out there. So it's kind of the same thing as the original trilogy. Luke is the one we are focused on. And there are other ones like Ahsoka out there doing other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Makes sense.
Rebel Moon. No, nothing?
Oh.
Okay.
No, I have no idea what this is.
So this is not Star Wars, but I put it in Star Wars news. Oh, wow. So Zack Snyder, who we all know did Justice League and some of the DC movies that are very kind of controversial now based on whose cut you like and whatever. Zack Snyder is a great director. He had this wonderful pitch for this really insane Star Wars movie. He was really excited to get this off the ground. And they were like, no, we don't want it. So he's actually taken his Star Wars idea. This is so interesting. He's taken his Star Wars idea and turned it into its own thing called Rebel Moon, which comes out this December 2023. So we'll get to see, like, I don't know. I feel like people are going to compare how would this fit into Star Wars and would it have been better than the much contested sequel trilogy that a lot of people had issues with. So interesting little thing happening this December.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want to see it.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. At our favorite movie theater, Alamo Drafthouse. Which reminds me of Disney.
Disney.
Disney. Because we saw Strange World Day.
Yeah. And before things come out or before the movie shows, you watch trailers, right?
Yeah. You'll go with that. So there's a new trailer for Haunted Mansion.
Ooh. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't watched any like media in the last week, unfortunately.
Okay. So what we get is a huge cast, and they don't even show the whole cast in this trailer because I was like, Jared Leto's in this movie? So we see Rosario Dawson comes to the mansion with, it looks like probably her son from the way she's talking to him and from the ages. And she's kind of like, oh, nothing to worry about. It's just an old house. And then we get these very kind of creepy ghosts that are doing that whole like twitchy ghost thing.
Oh.
Kind of like the girl in
in the haunted or the
Tower of Terror.
In Paris.
Yeah. In Paris. So we get that. We also get, it looks like Lakeith, I was calling him Statham, but that's Jason Statham. Lakeith Stanfield. Looks like he's hired to go into the mansion to do something or find something. What we get is this very kind of creepy atmosphere with, like, they're in a room where the haunted walls are actually stretching, which is really fun. Lakeith is walking down a hallway that, like, keeps going, and the picture slowly changes, like, behind him into one that's more menacing. So to me, it looks like it has a lot of gimmicks from the ride that makes me excited. It looks more faithful to the ride than the original Eddie Murphy one. But not everybody agrees
What you've read.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe my opinion's a little skewed based on, you know, seeing the opinions of others that I've seen like on TikTok. But yeah, like a lot of what TikTok is saying is, or some people are saying is that like it seems like a generic scary movie, like in a haunted house. But yeah, I think a lot of what you mentioned, the scenes from the ride are, if you're not looking out for it, you might miss a few things. For instance, like, they show like Madame Leota, which I missed the first time.
Oh, they did? I didn't see her.
Well, also, I mean, you know, the lady dressed in that whole like headgear, that's actually Jamie Lee Curtis as Leota.
Oh.
Yeah. So things like that you'll miss.
And they show the Hatbox Ghost. He's in it. Hatbox Ghost. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. So there are things. And it is a little confusing because I noticed like it looked like people were dressed in a certain time period, like an older time period. And then you have like, I guess he's the main character.
Lakeith.
Like he's just dressed in like today's attire.
Yeah. Because Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, and her son. I'll probably even say Danny DeVito. They look very like old.
Yeah.
And then Lakeith is like dreadlocks yeah. and like a jacket. So, hey guys.
So it's a little confusing, but yeah, I'm still interested, and I can't wait for the full trailer to get more scenes from the movie.
I wonder if they're gonna show people throughout the ages like dying and like Rosario's character would then be a ghost in the house. They just showed her as
that's what I was wondering. If they're in older clothes, like is there going to be a fun thing where they actually end up becoming like ghosts of the haunted mansion because they're getting up to their 99. Maybe the new guy is their 1,000th.
That's true.
Yeah.
And but, I guess I feel like storyline wise, like they don't need to follow, like the storyline is so loose. Like it's practically made up by people. There's like loose elements and people have created a storyline around it. And I feel like you haven't had any Disney people come out and say like, that is the exact to the letter storyline. So it makes sense to me that they're not necessarily doing like, oh, we're going to make a movie about a bride that kills her husband. That's also
she's in it.
She'll be in it, but that's like the main, one of the main storylines. Like, I don't know. What would they expect as a storyline that's faithful to the ride?
True.
Yeah.
Like, and Jungle Cruise, it had the elements of the Jungle Cruise, but it had a completely made up storyline that was nothing that you would have gotten from riding the ride. So I don't understand. I guess I don't understand the criticism of people saying that it isn't like faithful to the ride when it has all these like blatant call outs.
Yeah. And I think it's hard too, because people can say it looks just like another scary haunting story, but I'm kind of jaded because I feel like you can't really do much with like haunted stories at this point. So seeing all the stuff they added from the ride makes it true to me, but I don't know. We'll see.
I just want it to be like a beautiful, cause that's the thing too, like Jungle Cruise and like Pirates of the Caribbean. Like there's just a lot of cool like things to see. And I hope that they do like something like that here in Haunted Mansion. Like I want it like a big grand ballroom scene. Like we see in the ride.
Yeah.
I feel like that. If they don't do that, that'll be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they're not going to show everything in the first preview.
Yeah,
true. The Rock is really the Rock now.
Look, it's the Rock.
So, speaking of scary things.
So if you haven't heard yet, the news about Ron DeSantis kind of taking over the whole Reedy Creek district. Bleh. Well, he's starting to appoint people to the board. And I mean, no surprise, he's appointing people who have similar views as him. One of them that is breaking out in the news is an ex-pastor. His name is Ron Perry, who is the CEO of The Gathering, which is a Christian ministry. What's interesting is that his past views, he had claimed that tap water would turn people gay because of estrogen in the water from birth control pills.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
So much sense.
So it's a little scary, like what John mentioned, just things like this. I'm curious to know how this, like just how the board is going to affect Disney in all of their operations. It's just a sad thing to see happen to Florida at Disney.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. I don't want to get too political on our show, but while Democrats, I'll start there. While Democrats like Biden are trying to relieve student aid and help actual like middle class people and trying to protect rights like abortion, the Republicans are playing around trying to control Disney and block drag queens from performing in spaces. Like, it's so stupid at this point. It's so stupid. It is a mockery of itself. I'll get off my soapbox now. So, Peter Pan and Wendy.
Speaking of gay.
So that trailer got released. But what's interesting is that people already have some thoughts on this movie.
Oh, no. Is it not Peter Pan and Wendy enough?
Well, Jude Law, who is playing Captain Hook, a lot of people are complaining because apparently, Captain Hook is like a sex symbol in the past. He was depicted a bit more.
I missed that memo.
100%, you guys. If you have looked at romance novels, you'll know it's not about Peter. It's about Captain Hook because Peter is a boy and Hook is a man.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, people are a little disappointed because also Jude Law is a good looking fellow. So they're just like, why did they make him look so unattractive in this movie?
Yeah. So. I mean, was it Jason Isaacs that was in that live action Peter Pan?
Yeah. And it's funny because when Jude Law busted in, I was like, is that Jason Isaacs playing him again?
I thought he was very attractive in that other one, but I haven't seen the preview yet. But I'm curious. I'm curious.
It looks fun.
So this one is the live version of Peter Pan, like how they're doing live versions of everything. This one's called Peter Pan and Wendy.
Correct. Yeah. Live version. And there is also another casting choice that people weren't happy of. It's of Tinkerbell.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Because I thought she was so gorgeous. I'm becoming a Tinkerbell stan just off this actress. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. And she's played by Yara Shahidi, who's African-American. I believe she was in Blackish. People are just not happy with the casting choice of her. But she looks great. I mean, she doesn't talk, but she does look great. So I'm excited for this movie to come out on Disney Plus. Just don't knock it till you try it.
One thing I think is fun, and I think Rachel may appreciate, is when Wendy meets the Lost Boys, she's like, but you're girls. And they're like, so? We could be Lost Boys. So some of the Lost Boys are girls in this one, which is kind of a fun addition.
Yeah.
That is fun. It was very unfair that it could only ever be boys except for the one girl that got chosen.
The other thing I liked about this preview, I mean, if you hadn't mentioned it to me, I would have known. But Wendy is Mila Jovovich's daughter, and it is crazy insane how much they look alike and even have some of the same, like, impressions on their faces or reactions. Mm-hmm. So you could very much tell they're related when you watch this. But it does look very fun. It looks very whimsical. It almost, I guess I'm not going off a lot of information, but it almost looks to me like they're bringing some of the old Disney cartoon and some of the old book that it's based off into this movie. So if they do, I hope that it works well, because I love the Peter Pan book. Like, Peter Pan is such a brat in the original book. Like, I don't think anything's really, like, captured just how forgetful and bratty he is. At one point, he even, like, forgets who Wendy is. Like, she's falling towards the rocks and the mermaids, and he's like, oh, who are you? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like they got a little bit closer to it in that the one that was not Disney live action. Yeah, like, he had moments where he's like, who are you?
Yeah.
But it was, like, very small and fleeting, not as much as it is in the book. And I feel like that's something that says something about Neverland, you know? And, like, the reason that those people are still there is because they come to this place that makes them forget.
Yeah, they're just kids wanting to have fun. Like, we don't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but check it out. It comes out April 28th on Disney Plus.
Yay!
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's something I could even, like, collect stuff from, because I love Peter Pan.
Yeah. And we know how much you love merch, so I'm sure you'll be so excited to hear. And I feel like this is kind of how you guys mentioned that at Primark they had the 100th anniversary collection for Disney, but we don't have Primark here. That's not in every city, but what we do have everywhere is Amazon. And so in a very clever move, Disney has now released a 100th anniversary collection on Amazon of merch celebrating the anniversary. And there are things starting from $15, and it's like you got your kind of shirts and sweaters and tote bags and like pillows and all the things. So if you don't have a Primark near you, run, don't walk, to your computer where you can sign on Amazon and get yourself a sweatshirt for $40.
Just last night, I was wearing my Primark 16-euro Mickey backpack, and the lady behind me was like, where did you get that? And I felt so, like, almost ostentatious having to answer, like, I got it in Amsterdam at Primark, you know?
In Europe.
In Europe. It's all the craze. But yeah, I felt very special wearing it in our park, whereas in Paris, everybody was wearing that backpack. So everybody's like, I know you got that at Primark.
Yeah, Sean wore his Avengers Campus Paris spirit jersey, thinking that, like, oh, it was going to be special. And then the first thing we saw when we got into the park was someone else wearing the same spirit jersey.
He was like, oh, no. Shirt. I was like, yeah, I was special.
How sad.
How sad. So then I bought Oswald ears because I was mad. Well, speaking of, let's move over to Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec.
It's a world of Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
So, this one is just a rumor, but I'm reporting on it anyways, because if it ends up being real, I think it would be the best thing ever. I mean, my cynical side does not think this is real at all. But if they did it, oh my God. Apparently, there's a rumor that Rock and Roller Coaster is looking to change the kind of band and music that's going on. Partially because, you know, there are some accusations toward what's
Steven
his name?
Steven Tyler,
that he's not family friendly. So there is a rumor going around that they are going to be replacing the Aerosmith songs with the music of Queen.
Oh,
nice.
Queen.
You like and Queen.
I love Queen. And I love the idea of that. I think it is amazing, but I don't know how realistic that is. And honestly, with it being Rock and Roller Coaster, I don't think they would necessarily need to focus on one artist. I feel like they could very easily just like focus on the rock and roll genre and pick and choose songs from different people. That seems like that would be the better way to go rather than just focus on one band. But if they were, and you could write, listen to Don't Stop Me Now on the Rock and Roller Coaster, how amazing would that be?
That's like my favorite Queen song, so that would be amazing.
It would be so good.
And one rumor I heard, which I kind of doubt that it would be true, is that they were going to put music from Taylor Swift and slow down the ride a little bit to go with the music.
Oh.
Is that really a rumor? Are you making that up?
No, it was actually an article, but it was like, I'm pretty sure a joke article. Like, yeah. I don't think anybody would ever believe that.
Go slow. Well, she has some bangers.
Yeah.
I mean, if we are talking about rumors of that ride as well, too, there's also the talk about turning it into a Powerline theme coaster.
Yes!
Which would also be great.
That would also be great.
Yeah, so.
Why would you
would
say
awesome.
That? Now I'm torn between Powerline and Queen.
I know.
My favorite real artist of all time and my favorite pretend artist of all time.
What if the ride swapped? Like, all the signs and everything changed.
They flipped.
Every other ride.
They're two-sided.
Yeah. So you get Queen or Powerline.
Like, have some Queen, have some Powerline.
That's cool, too.
I mean, this would apply to everyone. Everyone that went on that ride would love this, and it would resonate with their soul.
What
not
if there's
just
a
us.
Third option where you get Mambo Italiano?
Oh, my goodness. Stop teasing me. That would be the best. But apparently one of the people spreading the rumors is Ken Marino. And if I don't know if you know who this actor is, but he has been on lots of random things like that Party Down show. He was on Veronica Mars. And he's like a comedian, but he is the sound technician that's in the room with Aerosmith in the pre-show. He's out there helping to spread rumors saying that it's going to be changing soon.
I'm a little confused because when you listed shows that he's in, you did not include Charmed in that list because he was in Charmed.
regularly? And
he was Miles, who was the iconic character who, when he died, Phoebe went home and danced to music in her room to mourn him, which we bring up a lot on Words of the Witches.
Oh, no. She really got to know him very well in that one episode.
They were dating. I think he was in more than one episode. Oh, okay. But they were dating.
Okay. I guess that went too far back for him to register in my knowledge. I think I started my knowledge of him with Veronica Mars.
Well, he was a little bit of a rebel in that. Rebel Wilson gets banned from Disney.
Yeah. So she was on an episode of The Daily Show with Hasan Minhaj, and she released some details that she actually was banned from Disney for 30 days because she took a selfie inside a secret Disneyland bathroom. Wow. I didn't know that could happen. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm. But what was nice is that Disney was able to work around her schedule so that she was filming at the time of this 30-day ban, because apparently she's a Disney fan and she goes to the parks often. So they're just like, what days or what month are you, filming? And then we'll just have you banned from Disney for those 30 days.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Very good. Yeah, you got to love a punishment that isn't actually a punishment.
Yeah. But yeah, be careful. If you like to take selfies in bathrooms, don't do it at Disney. Yeah.
I mean, what's even the best part of this story is the fact that we now know that when the special people are there, like, the stars that Jesse are always looking out to see them with their tour guides, they aren't using the bathroom like us peasants. They have secret bathrooms.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't she just recently propose to her girlfriend at Disney?
Yeah.
She is a big Disney fan.
She is.
She got a big old Tiffany ring and proposed right there at Disney in front of the castle.
Oh. I hope to see her one day at the park.
We will.
We just have to find those secret bathrooms.
Yeah. We'll just walk around the workers and be like, oh, I'm so famous and I need to poo. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know how to transition to this. Yes. But so this is something we already had on the West Coast, but I'm happy for the Florida people now, because they get Mando and Baby Yoda over there as well. That came out in their Galaxy's Edge when in time for the next season of Mando, the current season of Mando as well. So if you're at the parks in Florida, check them out. They're over there and they're really fun to see.
I saw an image of them just being inundated with people. Like, the crowds went crazy and were pushing forward to get a glimpse of Mando and Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like here we're kind of used to it now because we've had it a little while. So, like, you could calmly just walk by and be like, oh, look at that from my perusal.
There he is.
But this is cool. I'm glad that it's spreading, because the Baby Yoda, the Grogu puppet, is so cute.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I need to see it.
Broken.
You guys haven't taken me back to Disneyland again. It's your fault, clearly.
Our fault, clearly. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when we're back at the park, maybe we'll get to see something else that's cute. Mickey's Toontown is set to open March 19th. And with that, new dining options are available. The first one is Cafe Daisy.
Daisy!
Which looks like it's a mix of... I will say, back when the older Toontown was there, like, the food options weren't the best. So I'm excited that they're kind of plussing up the food options now. But yeah, Cafe Disney, they have what's called a pizza foldover. So it's kind of like a calzone, basically, but it's just a pizza that's folded in half, which looks, but I hope it tastes good. They also have a hot dog option as well, too, with a bunch of toppings, and also some drink options as well, too. There's like a watermelon lemonade drink and a new cold brew drink as well, too, and a veggie wrap. But what's kind of like, I don't want to say breaking the internet, but what's getting people out of a lot of people interested is at another eatery. It's their Good Boy Grocer kind of food stand, is that they're offering a, like a picnic package. So you can get a variety of things. You pick three from a list of items like Baby Bell cheese, cutie oranges, or drinks, soda, milk, whatever. But they'll package it up in like a little picnic basket looking thing, and you can also upgrade to get a blanket as well too, so you can have your an actual like blanket picnic at Toontown, because they did add a lot more grass space for you. So I thought that was really cool. Definitely that's gonna have a huge line when that area opens up on the 19th, so I'm really excited for that.
The people that get this meal, would you call them
I knew it.
What'd you call me?
Oh, no.
In answer to that, no, I would not call them that, Rachel.
Okay. But Goofy would.
Goofy would. You got to watch your mouth, Goofy. This is a family show.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully we'll have a chance to get that and let you know how that goes.
Yeah, we could tail or fail it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we tried some things.
We did.
So while Alan's pulling up our list, wait, I thought you had your own list.
I do.
Okay. I'll start with the drinks. So we went to Delish and got the Sake Melon 75. Oh, my glob. This drink was so good. This was really? My favoriteest thing that I got yesterday.
Yeah.
This is definitely a fail. No, a tail.
Yeah, especially if you like sweet and just don't like the taste of alcohol, it's definitely a creeper. It's so good.
Yeah.
So they really leaned into the melon side of that drink.
Yes. Yeah. We also went to Berry Patch, where we got the blueberry pancake cold brew, which is interesting because it had Cinnamon Toast Crunch sprinkled on it.
Yeah.
Not something I'd expect.
That's the pancake part, I guess.
That's the pancake. This one was good. It was just kind of like basic good cold brew. So I guess I'd say fail, just because there's better things you could get. I don't know.
I think it was a bit outshined by the melon drink that we got.
Yeah, I was double fisting both of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. It, especially if you don't like the strong taste of coffee, it does have a little bit more sweet. It's a little bit more sweeter than other cold brews that you can get. So I would actually tail it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle.
Okay. Was there anything else on your list?
That was all on mine. You kept track of everything else.
Yeah. So, kind of taking a step back and talking about the food and wine itself, they do have the Sip and Savor Pass again, and they have the special Magic Key Sip and Savor Pass where you get the lanyard, and that's at a lower price of $54. So doing the math, where you get 8 tabs, items 675 or more are what you should use your tab for to make your money's worth.
And just a reminder, you can't use tabs on alcohol.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And also a tip as well, too, you can order from any of the stalls and order at, so you say you go to one stall, you can order from any other stall. You don't have to go to each stall and order your items. So you get everything all at once, and then you can go to the pickup line to pick up your food.
It is helpful if you tell the person the cart before the items, so they know which one to click on and then do the items. So I would say Delish and what I want from there, and then Berry Patch and what I want from there.
Yeah. But yeah, so start going into so we talked about some of the drinks. Going into the food now, we started off at Garlic Kissed. What we tried there was a carbonara mac and cheese. I liked it. It's just basic mac and cheese, but they added like breadcrumbs, bacon, and if you're a fan of garlic, it tastes very garlicky.
I didn't taste the garlic.
No?
Yeah, I did.
So just forewarning, if you're not a fan of garlic, you might not like this, but I definitely liked it. It was a tail for me.
It was a tail.
Yeah. And then we also went to Delish as well, too. Aside from the drink, we also got the poutine, which was like, I think, a short rib beef with some gravy, like a cheese curd type of thing on top of tots. So not traditional poutine, usually on fries, but on tots. And I thought that was delicious as well, too. Probably not my favorite, but it was a tale. The cashier, when I ordered from her, she was like, this is my favorite. You have to get it. So maybe it was a little hyped up, but yeah. I still would get it.
Yeah, the beef on it was really good.
Yeah, really tender and soft. And then we also went to Pepper's Caliente, where we got the camarones a la diabla. It's like a spicy shrimp with a side of like rice. And that was probably my favorite of all of them. I like spicy shrimp things. So
Disney is good at spicy shrimp.
Yeah.
And attest spicy to drinks. This. Might,
they're like crying and nose running. It didn't say that shrimp was going to be spicy.
But yeah, so yeah, forewarning, that is spicy. But yeah, I enjoyed it. That was definitely a tale.
Tail.
And then lastly, we went to I Heart Artichokes, where we got the artichoke pizzetta.
I want that one.
Yeah.
I hope it's a tail.
When we ordered it, we were like, this is very Jesse Rachel. Yeah. It's an artichoke pizza, literally.
Yeah,
so that's like a little mini pizza. And yeah, that was also a tail as well. The bread part probably wasn't my favorite, but I'll still like eat it. But yeah, the topping of it is just really delicious. So a tail for me.
That's yeah, nice. A tail for me too.
And then we also got a drink there, the passion fruit rum cocktail, which was good. I'm glad we had that first before the melon drink.
Yeah, everything else would have been downhill.
Because this one is a bit strong. You do taste the alcohol. But I would say that's more of a fail, but I can tolerate fail, if that makes sense.
That's like kind of a fail in the way that the peanut butter whiskey one is a fail, because it was kind of amazing, but also overwhelming and too rich. And by the end, I was dying.
Yeah.
But it started really good.
Yeah, this drink was the same. I was like, I just want to get rid of this drink. I'm just like downing it because I'm over it.
Yeah, I'd say because sometimes I look at, like, is there something special about this? Like, if you have one day to try stuff, should you get this? And I would say the passion fruit rum cocktail is probably one of those that would be a fail, only because I've been to many a bar where I've had a drink very similar to what that tasted like. And it tasted good, but yeah, it just was not special.
Yeah.
Like the sake melon 75.
Oh, and there's one more that we also tried at Golden Dreams. It's the Elote Paleta.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an update to last year's version of their frozen guacamole. Now, because corn is a thing, they have a corn-flavored popsicle. It's corn, yeah. And I would see a lot of people, or like it being very divided between people who would like it and not like it. But I would say it is a tale. I enjoyed it. Especially the popsicle part. I think what people might not like about it is the toppings. There's like a very like zesty lemony kind of sauce that they add onto it. So some people might not like that, but I thought it was a tail.
Yeah, it's funny because when we first tried it, I was like, it's okay. And then I got to the zesty lemony topping and I was like, oh, this is good. So yeah, I would get it again. It also had, I think, tahini sprinkled on it. Uh-huh. So once you get to like the tahini and the topping, like it was really good.
Yeah.
It is a little weird to be eating like basically on top of the sauce and the tahini, you had like dried corn. So you're eating that on top of the popsicle part, but it all worked together very well and tasted good.
Yeah.
I don't know that this one is my style. Right.
No. All right. That's fair.
But yeah. So all right. Cool. Food and Wine Festival is going on until April 25th, so still tons of time to go hit the park and try all the delicious things.
Yes. So, Rachel, do you want to take us through this week's Cover Disney?
Sure. So, while watching one of the best Disney Plus shows ever, National Treasure: Edge of History, there is an amazing moment where they are pulling a heist in Graceland, as you would, and they need a distraction. And that distraction comes about in a beautiful cover Disney song of Suspicious Minds. I don't know if the actor actually is the one who sings his part or if they have a different singer, but yeah, well, let's listen to that.
Yeah, here we go.
Caught in a trap, I can't walk out, because I love you too much, baby. And why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? Suspicious minds, and we can't build our dreams on suspicious minds.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Doesn't it make you want to watch my favorite show now?
No.
But I got you watching Doctor Who, so I'm already winning.
Well, I'm taking a big break from that to watch another show that has nothing to do with Doctor Who. It's called Torchwood. It's a spinoff of Doctor Who.
Why are you taking a break to watch that, though?
Because I'm going to watch everything in order. I got to watch the Sarah Jane Adventures, too.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, yes. I'm going to watch it all, girl. All three shows. This is what you've done. This is the door you have opened.
I will eventually watch Torchwood, I think, because I really like Captain Jack. That's his name, right? Captain Jack?
Yes.
In my mind, I like finish that off as like Sparrow and
Harkness.
Like, that's not it. That's
Jack,
not it.
Harkness.
Jack Harkness. But you probably will never watch the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Wow.
I don't know. But I'm still having fun with it. I'm still working through. I'm on Matt Smith now.
I'm sorry.
He's not my favorite.
So I thought this week we would change things up a little bit. Instead of doing our favorite moment and our Margal Disbiz question after our spoiler alert, let's do them before. So that way, if anybody drops off, they can at least hear that before they drop off.
Cool.
So for this week's Margal Disbiz, without us giving our answers yet, I want to know who would win in a fight, Dr. Facilier or Hades? Both very connected to the dead. Mm-hmm. So I think this will be an interesting battle to the death.
And I think our guest for next week will have opinions because...
Oh. Yes, good you brought that up.
To a god.
We
to
are,
serve God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot your weird obsession. But Alan will not be on next week's episode. We'll have a winky face mystery guest instead on both Once Upon a Cult and on this show. Mm. Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Look at all the traveling you're doing.
Yeah.
So does anybody want to start with their favorite moment this week?
Oh, goodness.
I'll go first. I've got one. Yeah. I thought of one. Okay. I just really enjoyed seeing so many people wearing the Oswald ears in the park, whether it be the old school, like Mickey ear fashion one where you have the actual hat, or whether it be the headband with the ears. It was just really cool to see him getting his due and seeing that he is like a weird fan favorite that came out of nowhere. And I like the fact that it's attributed to Epic Mickey. It shows the power of video games on the headspace.
We also saw the mascot of Oswald too. When
we did.
So that was, I don't think he's a new thing, but that was one of the first times I saw him. So that was cool.
Yeah. Fun fact. I was at the party where they revealed him because mother won tickets to the Oswald reveal party after hours at California Adventure all the way back in 2011.
Wow. Nice. Oh, goodness. I can't remember what I've done Disney this past week. I watched Doctor Who. They are going to have Doctor Who on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Wow.
Eventually, it'll be a Disney thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a boring life right now.
Yeah, I guess mine's also Oswald related, but it was just kind of funny because when I was looking for the ears at DCA, I found them, but it was the last one. So I was like, oh, I got the last one in the park. And then lo and behold, when we go to Disneyland at the Emporium, there's a whole bunch of it there. Yeah. So
yeah.
You know how they get you, but I'm so happy I got them.
It goes to show, though, how much more, though, he is a DCA thing, because it does say something that it was sold out there and we saw more people wearing it there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, something about the advertising there. Maybe because you walk in and there's the Oswald store. Yeah.
It's like, buy it.
Buy me. I'm Oswald, buy me. All right. Did we all watch The Mandalorian this week? Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I told you I haven't watched a lot of media. I've been doing a class on cacao, which is the best chocolate, hot chocolate in the world.
Okay, that's fine. Are you okay hearing the synopsis?
I'm fine hearing the synopsis. Okay. You know me. Oh, here's a Favorite moment. I think I might be starting to like Pedro Pascal. He might be okay now. I might. You know, I'm usually like very anti-Pedro Pascal. He's growing on me. Not Oscar Isaacs, but Pedro Pascal. Go on.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it makes you like Diego Luna anymore, he did just come out saying, thank God there's only 2 seasons of Andor because I don't want to film anymore.
Wow. And I think I like Diego Luna. I just did not like Andor. That wasn't his fault. He's fine as a person.
But it is one of Star Wars' most highest rated things. So we're just not the audience, apparently.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Neither is Diego Luna. Go on.
Well, he said more for his headspace. I guess it's very taxing on him.
I see.
We got The Mandalorian Season 3, which this gets confusing to me. And this was one of the critics' things is like, you have to watch The Book of Boba Fett in between Season 2 and Season 3 or else this really isn't going to make sense to you because, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So all the naysayers who didn't like Boba Fett, I hope you watched it all the way through. Go on.
Yeah. Well, they were just saying it sucks in like 12 years if kids are starting this for the first time and they don't know that they have to watch Book of Boba Fett, then it's going to be very jarring because we get kind of left off at a certain point and it gets filled in Book of Boba Fett. Mm.
I guess, but like that's the same with a lot of like crossover shows, right?
Yeah.
That would have been the same with people that are now like me watching Daredevil, and I'm going to get to a point where it'll have things to do with the Defenders or something.
And same if you're watching Doctor Who and you want to watch Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures. So, yeah, that's a good point. A lot of shows have done this. So, yeah. So we get kind of this whole beginning where it was a little confusing at first. One of the critics had the same kind of thought I did. It seemed like we were watching Din Djarin as a kid get put into the Children of the Watch, which is the Mandalorian kind of cult that he's in. But it turns out it's taking place in present day with just a random child. And then this big old alligator alien thing comes and attacks everybody. It's just decimating the Mandalorians. But then Din Djarin comes flying in his N1 starfighter, which we recognize all the way from the prequels. From Naboo, Rachel, your favorite one to get on Star Tours. And he and Grogu, they fly in and they defeat the big alligator thingy. And it's kind of funny because even though he saves the tribe, he's still told, but you took off your helmet. Yes. You saved us all, but you took off your helmet.
Religions always have their priorities straight, let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So he's told he has to bathe in the warming waters of the tribe if he is to regain his status as a Children of the Watch. Rachel's giggling because of Warming Waters.
I was like, Warming Waters of the tribe.
I never thought of that.
What are they doing in those waters to make them warm? Go on.
So this is my only complaint. It gets a little messy in my opinion, because in order to get to the Warming Waters, he needs help from IG-11, who's the droid that we saw in the earlier seasons. The problem is IG-11 has been destroyed. So he goes to like turn him back on, but IG-11 has reverted to his old programming. So he's like, kill Grogu, kill Grogu. Yeah. He's trying to kill Grogu. So they have to basically destroy him again in order to get him to stop trying to kill Grogu. So then we get this new kind of story where, well, in order to get IG-11, in order to get to the Warming Waters, I need to go find parts for IG-11. So now we're just like building upon building upon building. So we get this whole scene, though. I think this was a fan favorite, very memeable, of Grogu and the little Anzellans, I think is what they're called, Anzellans, which are the little Babu Freak characters, which are very tiny. And Grogu just thinks they're toys, and he keeps trying to hug them. It's so cute. He just wants to love them. So then we get this scene that people are kind of talking about where Din decides that he needs to go back to Mandalore and visit kind of a unstable friend. So while they're in hyperspace, they see what are called Purgils, which are these very like space whale looking things, very blue, very beautiful. And they're said to be one of the only creatures that can enter hyperspace without any assistance from technology. And apparently this may be telling of Grogu's progress with the Force and as a character. When he sees the Purgils, he smiles and he like puts his hand on the window and he focuses on them. So what people are saying is, since Purgils are seen by a lot as like an annoyance because they get in the way when you're trying to go through light speed, they think that he was connecting with them through the Force and appreciating them for what they are.
Okay, cool.
So very small, but I mean, sometimes these details matter.
That scene just reminded me of the whole EAC on in Finding Nemo.
Yeah, yeah, very much that.
I was like, when is Crush coming out?
Yeah. So it turns out Din is traveling to see Bo-Katan, who, where we left her, she was a character in Rebels. So what's cool is they got the same voice actress to play her in reality. And she's just very like, I'm done. I'm over it. Like, I'm never going to rule Mandalore. You've got the Darksaber. I can't fight you for it. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Go back to your cult. She calls it a cult, Rachel. Once upon a cult. So this is interesting that we see, just because you're Mandalorian doesn't mean you have this whole belief in like the taking off the helmet, because she's always taking off her helmet. She doesn't care. This is just specifically
her face a lot.
Yeah. This belief is specifically Children of the Watch, which is explained that even among the Mandalorians, Children of the Watch is a very like old school kind of religion that not a lot of people follow anymore. So kind of like if you think of even in like Catholicism, there's like the intense, like, we don't have sex before marriage, we live on a farm, like we don't do a lot of things even like modern day Catholics do. So I see it like that,
like ultra conservative type.
Conservative. I learned a new phrase when looking into this episode. I thought this was fun. I thought I'd mention it. Somebody said Bo-Katan got the Jake Skywalker treatment. And I was like, who's Jake Skywalker? So upon some research, Rachel, I found that apparently Mark Hamill was so displeased with the way Luke Skywalker was written in The Last Jedi that he had to tell himself, maybe I'm not playing Luke Skywalker. Maybe I'm playing Jake. That was the way he had to separate and just do the job, because I guess he did air his concerns to Rian Johnson. Like, Luke wouldn't give up, Luke wouldn't be this way, but he couldn't change the story, so he played Jake Skywalker.
Oh no.
So yeah, so that's kind of what happened in the episode and my thoughts on it as we go. How did you feel about just watching through the episode?
I liked it. I'm glad it's back. It just kind of coming from watching Andor to Mandalorian, and like, okay, we're back on track.
Yeah.
Now. Like, I'm enjoying the Star Wars shows again. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I aired my only complaint. I'm not a big fan of the whole, like, we need this to do this, and then to do that, we need to do this. It's very, like, video game writing to me. So I kind of wish that they told us a little bit more, made it more clear on why he needs IG-11 to get to the warming waters. But he kind of said he needs him because he trusts him, because they've worked together. But it just seems like a lot of work to get from A to B.
Yeah.
Like, he's worked with a lot of people that he trusts. What is it about this specific android that is going to make getting to the waters attainable?
Yeah. And I'm sure maybe some people are yelling into their phones right now because maybe they made it more clear and I missed it. But I don't know. It seemed a little like we just need to spend some time before we get to the actual story. So let's do this. But yeah, very enjoyable episode. I felt the same way. Like, it's exciting to be back in this world. I still love Grogu. He's still a great character, giving us these cute moments. But I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of grow past this adorable little Grogu. So I think with this season showing more of his background and possibly more about his people, I'm looking forward to get to that meet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
So yeah, go watch it, Rachel, now that you know the whole episode.
Yay! I will eventually watch that.
And I will eventually watch National Treasure. So where can people find you?
You can find me on A Real Bodice Ripper, a podcast about romance novels and their silliness.
I wonder if somebody from that podcast is the somebody that will be joining us next week. I mean,
it could be. I haven't told that somebody that they're doing it yet, but it is my plan.
I like that you used the word told and not asked.
Happy birthday. You're doing this.
And where can people find you?
Yeah, you can also find us on Once Upon a Cult, where we talk about a new cult every other week.
Yeah, and if nothing changes, Winky Face will be talking about a cult that was promised to you a good, like, 3 or 4 months ago that we still haven't done. And you can also find me on Solving for X. We're coming back with season 4. And you can find me on Words of the Witches, where we talk about Miles and his character on Charmed and Phoebe dancing in her room after he dies.
Sadness.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.